to be praised. Worthy to be praised. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want any rocks crying out around me. So I'm going to praise him and worship him for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he's going to do. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our serving him. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but throughout all eternity. You ever think about that? We're going to get to praise and worship God throughout all eternity. Be at the feet of Jesus throughout all eternity. If you bow to him now, you get to praise him and worship him forevermore. Father, we do thank you today. We do thank you that we can worship and praise you, dear God. We know, dear Jesus, you said that your Father, our God, he seeks true worshipers, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that's our desire this morning, dear God. That's our heartbeat this morning. That's our goal, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you in such a way that it would be pleasing in your sight, that it would go up before you as sweet aroma, dear Lord, that you would look at Love Fellowship this morning, the saints that are here today, that you would be pleased with our worship of you. And dear God, we pray that, we know that as Christians, the Holy Spirit is in us, but we even pray today, dear God, for a manifestation of your presence, even this morning. Pray, dear God, as I open my mouth, that you would speak to and through me to your people. We pray, dear God, that you would give all of us an ear to hear and a heart to receive and a willingness to do what thus saith the Lord. And we will always be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that you and you alone are worthy of. And we pray this in the mighty, marvelous, matchless name of Jesus Christ. And for his sake, amen. Amen. Let the church of the Lord say amen again. It's good to be here. It's just good to be in the presence of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I would be here this morning if I wasn't even scheduled to preach. I would be here this morning. I'll be somewhere in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing to be amongst the brethren and to worship, and the sisters, and to worship and praise God. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can stand. And it's in your bulletin, but also may just want to turn there in your Bibles, even though we won't spend much time there this morning in Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our sermon series on the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 7, Matthew chapter 5, in verse 7, it reads as follows, Matthew 5 and 7. This is part of the greatest sermon ever preached. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Chapters 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain or receive mercy. So this morning, I'm going to talk for a few moments from this thought. The endless supply of God's mercy. The endless supply of God's mercy. You may be seated. The endless supply of God's mercy. The endless supply of God's mercy, particularly as it relates to the born-again believer, the Christian. The endless supply of God's mercy. Is there anyone here this morning in need of God's mercy? You might just want to raise your hand if you're in need of God's mercy this morning. All the hands should be up. All of us are in need of God's mercy. All of us, every day, we're in need of God's mercy. Mercy, many of you all know this definition. Mercy simply means God not giving us what we do deserve. God not giving us what we do deserve. Namely, first of all, hell. All of us deserve to be eternally separated from the grace and the mercy of God. All of us deserve to be under the wrath of God throughout all eternity. But because of God's mercy, he's seen fit to spare us from eternal damnation. That's reason enough to praise and worship him. He has spared us from hell. But also, there are countless and countless and numerous other occasions where God did not give us what we rightly deserved. For some of us, even last week or last month, there's some stuff that we deserved, but God blocked it. His mercy did not allow us to feel the consequences of certain decisions. God's mercy. Mercy, you might want to jot this down. Mercy assumes need on the part of him or her who receives it. Mercy assumes a need, assumes need on a part of him or her who receives it. I mean, all of us who have received mercy, we needed mercy. Also, mercy is an aspect of God's love that causes him to help the miserable. It's an aspect of God's love that causes him to help the miserable or the down and out person. It's an aspect of God's love that causes him, prompts him to help those who are down and out. Now, some people are down and out. Some people are miserable because of breaking God's law, because of sin. Some people are down and out. Some of us are miserable because of sin in our lives. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. This great church planner, Paul, said this. He said, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, and yet I was shown mercy. Paul said, I was full of sin. Paul said, I was persecuting the church. I was doing all kind of stuff that was displeasing to God, but yet I found the mercy of God. Jesus stopped him, of course, on the Damascus Road that day and saved him. So many of us, all of us actually, have been down and out, have been miserable because of sin, because of breaking God's law. But some of us are miserable, or some of us are down and out because of life's circumstances. Just because of the everyday routine of life. The everyday routine of life will cause you some misery from time to time. It will cause you to be down and out sometimes. Just life. But don't take my word. Jesus said this. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might, not maybe you will. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he said, take courage, for I've overcome the world. Take courage, for I've overcome the world. I'm preaching about the endless supply of God's mercy, the endless cycle, if you will, of God's mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, when he came to planet Earth, he showed God's mercy. When he walked this earth, he healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. He gave sight to the blind. He allowed the deaf to hear, the mute to talk, and the lame to walk. He even cast out demons. He even rose people from the dead. Jesus Christ showed the world much mercy. He's a merciful God. Not only that, he went to Calvary's cross and died for your sins and for my sins. He's a great example of a merciful God. Our God is a merciful God. That's one of his attributes. He is a God of mercy. So this morning, you might be here. You might be in misery because you're in sin. Maybe you've been breaking God's law. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're here and you're in misery just because of some of life's circumstances that have come upon you in life. But I ask you, I tell you, God can show you his mercy. He can deliver you out of all those situations. Can I get a witness? He can deliver you out of those situations. His mercy can deliver you and deliver me. Again, to be able to show mercy, Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive or obtain mercy. So for you and me to show mercy, we got to make sure we got the right type of picture of mercy. So no better person to look at than our God, who is a God of mercy. He gives mercy. He gives mercy. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 21. That'll be our primary text today as we look at God showing mercy toward his people. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. As we continue to look at the endless supply or the endless cycle of God's mercy. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. I'm already there. I cheated. I already marked it. I'm right there in my Bible. I'm there. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. Let me read those in our hearing. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, the people said, and no water. And our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." Look at the mercy of God. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So verse 4, continue to look at the mercy of God. The endless mercy of God, the endless cycle of God's mercy. The people of Israel, God's chosen people, God has freed them from bondage. They've been freed from slavery in Egypt. But the text says the people became discouraged. They grumbled, they murmured, they became discouraged. Now sometimes that happens to me and you. Sometimes on this Christian journey, sometimes we become discouraged. These people, they got discouraged. Sometimes in our life, when life knocks us down, you will become discouraged. But the question this morning is, how do you deal with your discouragement? How do you deal when you do get discouraged? Because you will become discouraged on this Christian journey. Verse five says, the people, because they were discouraged, they grumbled against God and against Moses. If you're taking notes, write this down. Don't handle disappointment by blaming God. Don't handle disappointment by blaming God. Don't handle disappointment by blaming God. Now I believe it's okay. It's fine to maybe ask God why, or I often ask God what. You know, God, what are you trying to teach me through this tough situation? What are you teaching me in this tough thing that I'm in, dear God? Why did this happen? Show me, dear God, that I might make some adjustment, make some changes in my life. But don't blame God for your disappointments in life. These folks in the text that we're looking at this morning. Now, I could call them another word that begins with F and ends with L, but I won't do that this morning. But these people in the text, these folks in the text, first of all, they lied. It's right in your Bible, verse 5. They are complaining to God. Say, God, why did you bring us out here? Did you bring us out here that we might die? Did you bring us out here to kill us? They had forgot that God had delivered them from Egypt. God brought them out there that they might live, not die. And then also they're saying, we don't have any food. None of us know this Exodus account. We know there was a time when they didn't have any food. They didn't have any water, Brother Keith. And God gave them water from a rock. And now, right in that verse, God has given them manna from heaven. So they do have food. They do have food. But I guess they weren't satisfied with the food that God was giving them. Isn't that just like us? Now, we in this text this morning. Sometimes God does something for us. If he doesn't do it the way we want him to do it, or if he doesn't do it when we want him to do it, we can very soon get an attitude just like the people in the text. When I was looking at this, I was reminded when I was in college, I was interviewing for jobs. I was about to graduate, and pretty much most of the companies were writing back that Dear John letter, like, hey, the interview went well. Your resume looks pretty good. Your grades look pretty good, but we don't have any openings right now. So I kept getting those letters, and I finally just cried out to God. I begged God. I said, God, please give me a job. And you all have probably heard my testimony about that before. He worked it out where I got the interview with a person from TVA. I'm living in Arkansas. And really, that day, I broke every rule of interviewing. I wasn't dressed properly. I didn't know anything about the company. All that stuff. I broke every rule of the interviewing process. But God still showed me mercy and gave me a job. But watch this now. After the first couple of years, Sister Chairman, I was excited. I was happy to have that job. But next thing I know, I started grumbling and complaining about the job God had given me that I had prayed for. So all the time, we're not much different than the Israelites right here in the text. God gave them manna from heaven, gave them bread from heaven. Now, I don't know what it tastes like. I mean, the word manna means what is this? So it was something new to them. But I'm sure it wasn't bitter or bad. But yet they complain. So since they complained to our God, let's look and see what God did in verse 6, as we talk about the endless supply of God's mercy. Verse 6 says, The people, of course, verse 5, they grumbled, they spoke against God and against Moses. So in verse 6, God said, the text says, God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now listen to me well. They're in the wilderness. And I don't think I'm necessarily eisegeting the text or putting something in there that's not in there, Brother Steve or Brother Bray, but they're in the wilderness. I grew up in the country. If you go out into the woods, you go out into the wilderness, Mr. Charlie the Snake, he's on you to be out there. So I really believe, since they were in the wilderness, I believe the snakes were already there, but because of God's mercy, he was keeping the snakes from bothering them. But either way, God allowed the snakes to come upon them. Because of their disobedience, because of their murmuring, because of their complaining. Child of God, we need to be careful how we murmur and complain against God. You and I, we should be the most grateful people in all of the world. I mean, God has canceled hell. God woke us up this morning, gave us reasonable health and strength, put clothes on our back, food on the table, allowed us to get here safely this morning. We should be a grateful person, people. But the people murmur, they complain, and so God allowed these serpents to come upon them. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." I guess they weren't too foolish. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you, Moses. So pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And so Moses prayed for the people. If you're taking notes, verse 7, we see an appeal for God's mercy and a confession of sin. An appeal of God's mercy, Brother Vizo, and a confession of sin. I also could have put in there intercessory prayer by Moses. But we see an appeal for God's mercy and a confession of sin. These Israelites, they admitted that they had sinned. Let me just say this, beloved. When you sin, not if, but when you sin, a good starting point is to confess it to the Lord. Admit that you messed up, that you missed the mark. Admit that you have sinned and repent. Turn away from that sin and turn to the Lord. That's a good place to start. When you mess up, when you bump your head, when you get off track, admit to God, "God, I've messed up. I confess. I've blown it. I got off track. Please forgive me." Turn to God. And God is a God of mercy. 1 John 1:9 tells us that when you sin, not if, but when you sin, confess that sin. And our God is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So confession and repentance are really friends to the Christian. Confession and repentance are friends to the Christian. So these Israelites, they said, "We have sinned. We've messed up. Moses, we've sinned against you and we've sinned against God." And so they asked Moses to pray for them, to intercede for them. Now we're talking about blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Moses could have said, and maybe you and I would have said, "No, I'm not going to pray for y'all. Y'all getting what y'all deserve. Y'all complain against God. Y'all complain against me. Y'all should just get what y'all deserve." But now Moses didn't do that. Moses, "I'm going to go to God. I'm going to intercede for y'all. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to intercede for you." Christian friend, that's one of the things that you and I can do. We can pray for one another. We can pray for one another. Galatians 5 talks about a person who's caught in the sin. Those of you who are spiritual, go to them. You might restore him. So you and I should pray for one another. Let me say that again. You and I should pray for one another. Let me say it one more time. You and I should pray for one another. So Moses, he said, "I'm going to pray for y'all. Even though y'all talked against me and talked against God, I'm going to pray for you all. I'm going to pray." So Moses prayed. And so as he prayed, let's look and see what our merciful God, what does he do? In verse 8. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live.'" So if you're taking notes, God answers their prayer by showing them mercy. God answers their prayer by showing them mercy. It's the endless cycle of God's mercy. It's the endless and abundant supply of God's mercy. Now, for the Christian, that doesn't mean we should live sloppy and junky lives and sinful lives. "Well, God got mercy. He gonna show me mercy." No, no, no. We should strive all the more for holiness. We should strive all the more to live right. But when we do get off track, when we do sin, our God is merciful, and he's merciful to forgive us of our sins. I mean, matter of fact, Jeremiah said we have new mercies every morning. So you get up in the morning, you got mercy. You make it to lunchtime, you got mercy. You make it to the afternoon, you got mercy. You make it to the evening time, you got mercy. You make it to the midnight hour, and you got mercy. Then you make it to the next morning, you got mercy. You make it to lunchtime again, you got mercy. You make it to the afternoon, you got mercy. You make it to the evening again, you got mercy. You make it to the midnight hour again, you got mercy. One more time for the Holy Spirit. You wake up in the morning with mercy. You go to lunchtime with mercy. You go to the afternoon with mercy. On your way home, you got mercy. Traveling, mercy. On your way in the dinner table, you got mercy. In the midnight hour, you got mercy. In the morning time, you got mercy. In the lunchtime, you got mercy. Y'all get the idea. You got mercy, mercy, mercy. And we're told to cry out for mercy. I can see blind Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus. To Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus gave him his sight back. I can see the woman with the issue of blood coming through and touching the hem of Jesus' garment. And inside, I'm sure she was saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus showed her mercy. I can see even Lazarus, his sisters, Mary and Martha, coming to Jesus. Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Show us mercy, Jesus. Where is the body? Even though he'd been dead for 4 days, Jesus rolls him from the grave. God is a merciful God. I said, our God is a merciful God. Just do a check of your life. Even before you came to Christ, God showed you and me much mercy. We should have been dead, sleeping in our grave, but God showed us mercy. Even as a Christian on this side of the cross, God shows us mercy oftentimes. He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. This is how the pattern goes. It's not a good pattern, but this is how it goes sometimes. You sin, you mess up, you repent, you confess, you go to God, ask for forgiveness, and God shows you mercy. Then you mess up again, you sin again, and you go to God, you repent, you confess, God shows you mercy. Then you mess up, you mess up again, you go to God again, say, God, forgive me, Lord, help me, and guess what? You repent, you turn to God, and God forgives you again. Our God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. He does not give us what we do deserve. Anybody with me this morning? He does not give us what we do deserve. You've done some stuff. I've done some stuff. If God would have not allowed his mercy to hold back the consequences, all of us would be messed up this morning. We'd be dead or in a hospital or in a jail. Or we'd be somewhere that's not a good place. The boundless, the endless mercy of God. So God answered their prayer. Show them mercy. You know, because of that, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Because we serve as a merciful God, you and I should show mercy to others. Let me say that again. This is a good practical application. You and I should show mercy to others. Don't give other people what they rightly and justly deserve. Don't give them what they rightly and justly deserve. God doesn't give us what we rightly and justly deserve. So God said, I'm a merciful God, and I'm showing you mercy. Go and show others mercy. I think it's interesting in verse 8 as well. Verse 7, they asked Moses to go pray and say, God, ask God to remove the serpents. But if you look at verse 8 kind of carefully, it doesn't appear as though God removed the serpents, because verse 8 says that God says, if the snakes basically bite anybody, let them look at the pole. Let them look at the bronze serpent on the pole and they will be healed. They will not die. So it seems as though the snakes weren't removed. How many of y'all know that sometimes God doesn't move the situation? Sometimes God doesn't take away the situation. Sometimes God doesn't remove that coworker that gets on your last nerve. Sometimes God may not heal you from that illness. Sometimes God doesn't remove that situation. But guess what? This is what he does. He can give you mercy for that situation. He may not remove the storm, but he can give you peace in the midst of the storm. He may not take away the sorrows, but he can give you joy in the midst of sorrows. See, I can't preach it like some other guys who on TV talking about everything gonna be perfect, everything gonna go away. No, sometimes he's gonna keep that situation right on your head. As Minister Bray was talking about this morning, that's one of the ways he conforms us into his image. Paul prayed 3 times fervently, remove this thorn. God said, no, I won't remove it, but my grace, his grace and his mercy, might I add, are sufficient for you. Jesus prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, let this cup pass. I don't really want to go to the cross, but not my will. Never let your will be done. So oftentimes, God is not going to remove the tough situation, but he will. I promise you, he will. I promise you, he will. He can give you mercy to endure that situation. So he looked at the serpent, and they didn't die. They didn't die. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. God said, Moses, what I want you to do, go make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. Let's look at verse 9. I'm getting close to being through. Let's look at verse 9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So Moses not only prayed, this is a very practical point, Moses obeyed. He had an action. He had something to go do. See, oftentimes, and I mean, it's good. We say it. It sounds really good, and it's a good thing. Oftentimes, we run into people who are going through stuff. We say, well, we're going to pray for you. And that's a great thing. I'm not minimizing that. But oftentimes, it takes more than just prayer. I'm not being blasphemous. It's right there in the Bible. You know, Moses could say, well, people, I prayed for y'all. I went to God. God gave him some instructions, some things to do. And Moses, okay, I'll go do it. I'll make this bronze serpent. I'll put it on a pole. I'll do my part. So oftentimes, saints, as we see people going through things, we need to pray for them. But sometimes the answer to that prayer is right in your pocket. Sometimes the answer to that prayer is giving them a ride somewhere. Sometimes the answer to that prayer is taking them a job application. Sometimes the answer to that prayer is right among you in your reach, something that you and I could do. But Brother Moses not only prayed, but he also obeyed God. So turn with me now to John 3:14. Somebody probably said John 3:16, but we're going to get there in a second. But John 3:14, turn to me with me to John 3:14 as we talk about the endless supply of God's mercy. As we talk about you, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive, they shall obtain mercy. John 3:14. John 3:14. See, pages still turn. It's in the New Testament, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 3:14. And as Moses, talking about Numbers 21, as Moses lifted up the serpent, this is Jesus talking, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was talking about his death on the cross. Jesus just says, Moses lifted up the serpent. Even I, the Son of Man, must be lifted up. Now, the Bible contains a lot of what we call typology or a lot of symbolism, especially in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament. So the bronze serpent that Moses made back in Numbers 21 and put on a pole, and people who looked at it lived and didn't die. This symbolically pointed to Jesus Christ. Listen, those of us who look to Jesus Christ, those of us who have looked to him, those of us who put our trust and faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, we are healed. I said, we are healed. Is this the Christian church? We are healed. We are healed spiritually. And that's the most important type of healing anyway, spiritual healing. Those of us who look to Christ, just like they looked at the bronze serpent and they were healed physically, those of us who look to Christ for salvation, we are healed spiritually. We are made right with God. We are justified. We are put back and brought back into right relationship with God. We have been reconciled to God. But also, Jesus not only heals us spiritually, he can also heal us mentally, emotionally, physically, and on and on and on. He is the healer. So whatever you stand in need of this morning, Jesus Christ is a healer. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. That's a good place to clap. So not only does Numbers 21 point to the cross, really all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation makes a beeline toward the cross of Christ. It points us to Jesus. So Numbers 21 even points us to Jesus. He is the healer. He died for us on the old rugged cross. What can take away my sins? As I said earlier, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain. Jesus once again said in verse 14 of John 3, said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him, believe in Christ, should not perish, should not go to hell, but have eternal or everlasting life. Verse 16, we know verse 16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that's the endless mercy of God. That's the endless mercy of God. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Aren't you glad about that? but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, he who believes in him is not condemned. He who believes in him is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I want to tell you this morning, if you're not in Christ, you need to rush to the cross. You need to rush to Jesus, because if not, you're under condemnation. You're under the wrath of God, not the mercy of God, but the wrath of God. But the Bible says in verse 18, if you believe in him, you are not condemned. But he who does not believe in Christ is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible is very clear. As I even preach about the endless mercy of God this morning, let me give a warning for some people. Once again, if you're not in Christ, you're not born again, you're still under the mercy of God. But that mercy is not infinite. Eventually that mercy, if you will run out. But if you're in Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved, God's mercy is endless. Jeremiah, let me quote him again. He said, each morning we have new mercies. I said, each morning we have new. So when I got up this morning, I had some Sunday morning mercies. Yesterday, I used up all my Saturday mercies. So this morning, I got some Sunday morning mercies. And guess what? It's a little after 12. I got some noonday mercies. Later on today, I'm going to have some afternoon mercies. Then I'm going to have some evening mercies and some midnight hour mercies. It's the endless supply of God's mercy. It's bountiful mercy. Mercy is available. Mercy is available. God not giving us what we do deserve. It's God's mercy. It's God's mercy. Let me give you a few verses from the Word of God that kind of accents or all the more amplifies the mercy of God. And if you want some of these, I got some on the credenza and got a few down here on the front chair. But just the word mercy and merciful throughout the scripture. Listen to this, because God is a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. Jesus is merciful and compassionate. And listen, right before I get to these verses, as God has shown us his mercy, as we've been released from our sin debt, since he paid it all, you know, sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it away. So you ought to be merciful. You and I ought to be merciful to others. In the body of Christ, there is a need for more mercy and compassion to be shown toward others. Right here at Love Fellowship, in this church, there's a need for more mercy to be shown toward one another. There's a need, maybe in some case, for reconciliation to happen. I mean, we serve a great reconciler, so who are we not to strive to live a life of reconciliation? A life of showing mercy to others, because we have received God's mercy. We receive his mercy every day. I hope I've made that clear this morning. We receive God's mercy every moment of every day. God does not give us what we do deserve. Sometimes even stuff that we don't do, but we're thinking some crazy stuff, but we're pondering some crazy stuff. If God gave us what we deserve, he would just take us on out. But God is merciful, slow to anger, full of compassion. Aren't you glad you're not under the wrath of God? I know I'm glad I'm not under the wrath of God. Genesis 39:21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Exodus 20:6 tells us that God shows mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments. Like I said, once again, this is not an excuse for sloppy living or sinful living. God shows mercy to his people, and his people, we have a desire to live holy. Let me repeat that. His people, the people of us who belong to Jesus, who belong to God, we have a desire to live holy. But when you do mess up, when you do sin, when you do slip off the road, God shows us mercy. Numbers 14 says the Lord has listened. He is long suffering and abundant in mercy. That means he got a lot of it. Let me say that again. Abundant means he's got a lot of it. 1 Chronicles 16 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures how long? Forever. And that's good news. His mercy endures forever. That means it lasts forever. Ezra 9:9 says, for we were slaves. Ezra said, we were slaves. Yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us. Ezra said, we were slaves, but God still extended mercy to us. It's kind of like what I said earlier, beloved. You might be in a tough situation. God didn't always remove the situation that's tough, that's weighing you down. But he will show you mercy. I said, he will show you mercy. Psalms 23:6, we know this. Surely goodness and what? And mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, the Bible tells us. Psalms 59 says, my God of mercy shall come to meet me, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. It's the endless supply, the endless cycle of God's mercy. Psalms 86, for you, Lord, are good. Somebody say, God is good. And ready to forgive. And abundant, there it is again, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. But you, O Lord, are God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Our God is a merciful God. Psalms 94:18, I'm just giving you some biblical evidence, some truth from the Word of God that shows that our God is full of mercy and our God is a merciful God. The psalmist said, if my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. Anybody foot has slipped lately? Anybody slipped every now and then? God's mercy will hold us up. Again, that cycle. Sometimes we mess up. Our foot slips. We get off track. We sin. But we rush to God. Confess and repent of that sin. Turn away from that sin. Turn to God. And God extends his mercy to us. Psalms 103 says, the mercy of the Lord. Listen, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That means it's from eternity past to eternity future. His mercy is all around. Am I the only one getting excited about reading the Bible about how God is a merciful God? He's full of mercy. There is abundant mercy available to you and to me. Daniel 9:9 says, To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Micah 7:18 says, God delights in mercy. I mean, he enjoys giving us mercy. Ezra 2:4-5, two of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. If you read the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2, it paints a very bleak picture. It says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were doing our own thing. We were running away from God. We were on our way to hell. We were in darkness. But then Ephesians 2:4 says, since we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we were running away from God. Ephesians 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Oh, that's the endless cycle of God's mercy. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God, being rich in mercy, saw fit to save us. Who are we, once again, not to show others mercy? Because we have been such great recipients of God's great mercy. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us that our God has abundant mercy. That's that word again, abundant mercy. The synonym describing mercy, meaning there's a lot of it. Exodus 34, the Lord God, our God, is merciful and gracious. I'm glad our God is not some evil, detached deity way out there yonder somewhere. Our God shows us mercy. I'm not an expert on other religions, but the little bit of studying I have done on other religions like Islam and some of the other ones, their God is very fickle. Their God is a false God anyway, but their God is very, you know, you had to catch him at the right day, the right time. I think I told you all this recently. There's a book out called What's Up with Malcolm. Really good book written several years ago. Moody published it, and they list some things that you have to do before you go before that fellow named Allah. You got to make sure your teeth are brushed. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to shout. I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't serve a God like that. I can just wake up in the middle of the night. I don't have to go brush my teeth and go do all that. I can just come to him just as I am. Just as I am. Such foolishness some people believe in. I'm glad that we serve a God who is slow to anger, full of love and kindness, full of mercy, full of grace. But also he's a God of wrath. I got to keep saying that too. Now we can't just grab one or two attributes. I'm preaching on his mercy this morning. But you know, the totality of God is all type of attributes. I said, he has all type of attributes. But mercy is the one that we are focusing on this morning. Nehemiah 9:17 says, but you are God. Listen, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God has been slow to anger with some of my foolishness. I'm glad God has been slow to anger. Psalm 116 said, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Jeremiah 3:12, this is God speaking. Look what God said. God says, for I am merciful. God said, I'm a lot of things, but I am merciful. That's one of the things I am. I am merciful in Jeremiah 3:12. Jonah, y'all remember Jonah? Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to go down to Nineveh. He was a reluctant prophet. He didn't want to go down to Nineveh because he knew that God is a merciful God. He said, if I go down there and preach to them about Jesus, preach to them about salvation, God might show them mercy and they'll turn around. And that's what he finally went down there. You know, after he got eaten up by a large fish or a whale, he finally went on down to Nineveh and he preached. And the Bible said the whole city began to repent and mourn. They even put sackcloth and ashes on the animals and stuff. And the whole city got saved. Because of God being merciful. That's an amazing thing. And Nineveh was, if you read a little history on it, Nineveh was an evil place. They were a wicked group of people. But God showed them mercy. He showed them mercy. And then the Bible says, talking about the Ninevites, when the next generation came up, they were evil again. And at that time, God said, I'm just going to wipe y'all on out. He wiped them out then. But God is a God of mercy. He shows us mercy. Brother James said this way. He said, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Our God is a merciful God. The endless supply, the endless cycle of God's mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain or receive mercy. God's mercy. He has not given us. He has not given us what we deserve. Anybody glad about that this morning? God has not given us what we do deserve. And sometimes we can just say, well, before I got saved, before the cross, let's be honest, let's be real, let's be transparent this morning. He, you know, since the cross, since salvation, he has not given us what we did deserve. We've done some messed up things on this side of the cross. We're not proud about it. We don't boast about it, but we've done some messed up stuff on this side of the cross. But thank God for his mercy. That should all the more make you and I pursue a relationship with him. That should all the more make you and I pursue holiness and God-likeness and Christ-likeness because he is such a merciful God. He's done so much for me and you. We ought to want to do some stuff for him. We ought to want to serve him, worship him, praise him, adore him, read from his book, pray to him because he's a merciful God. Again, mercy in the morning, mercy at lunchtime, mercy in the afternoon, mercy in the evening, and mercy in the midnight hour. Paul and Silas, they experienced mercy in the midnight hour. They were in jail and they began to talk to God and pray and sing. And God sends what I call the first jailhouse rock. I mean, the jail rock. That was before Elvis Presley, the first jailhouse rock. The jail rocked and the Bible said the chains came off Paul. God is a merciful God. So he's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. So when we go share with that person that's lost, that's unsaved, we can tell them rightly so. You're still under the mercy of God. But that mercy is going to run out eventually. Unless you run to Christ, that mercy is going to run out. But God has shown you mercy. Then we can encourage one another as followers of Christ that God is a merciful God to us. He has not and he does not give us what we really deserve. You look in that mirror, you'd be like, man, I deserve some bad stuff. But God has shown me mercy. God has shown me some mercy. He gives us traveling mercies. I mean, he gives us parenting mercies. He gives us marital mercies. He gives us singleness mercies. He gives us financial mercies. He gives us mercy while we are living. But watch this. He even gives us dying mercies. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible said, blessed are those who die in the Lord. As a Christian, I don't know about you. I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to be taken out of here. But death, as Rodney prayed earlier, it has no sting. The grave has no victory. I don't have to fear death because God has taken away the sting of death. And I have mercies even when I get ready to die. He's a merciful God. Think about it. Even on your deathbed. A friend of mine, we grew up together. I end with this story. We grew up together and I loved him to death. He lived just right behind where I lived and he was born slightly handicapped and in our life. He kind of really got off track in his life and he got really involved with alcohol and drugs. And this was several years ago, but I went home to Arkansas and I saw him and he came up to me and we were talking. He said, man, I got throat cancer. That's what he told me. He said, man, I got throat cancer. And I could tell his whole demeanor had kind of changed. You know, when God, when stuff come on you, I mean, you change. You don't just stay the same, especially if you're away from God. And so even as he and I talked, his conversation was totally different. It wasn't just so crazy like he often would talk. And so time went on. I came back here to Chattanooga. I went back. I'm talking about dying mercies. Went back to Arkansas. And I said, man, I got to go see my friend. I got to see my homeboy. I grew up with him. I got to go see him. And I went to see him. And I'll never forget this. He was laying on the couch. He was literally dying. And his mother, who was a Christian, she was there. And we got to talking. Because I went over there. I knew he was dying. I said, man, I want to go share the gospel with him, see if he's saved or not. And when I went into that house, I mean, God totally knows. But when I went into that house, I'm talking about dying mercies. When I went into that house and began to talk to my good friend, I had never seen him so peaceful in my life. I had never seen him so peaceful. I mean, he was laying there. He was a guy who really didn't have a relationship with the Lord most of his life. But it seems as though somewhere down the last year or two, when he had that cancer, that throat cancer, that he had, quote unquote, had made peace with God. And his mother, who is a Christian, I'm sure she'd been praying for him. He laid, and as he and I talked, we had a conversation, a deep conversation that we had never had before. Even when I grew up with him, used to hang out with him and all that stuff. We had a deep conversation about the Lord and other things like that. And I just saw for myself right there. Like I said, I don't know. I pray he went on to heaven, but I really don't know. But I just sensed that he and I talked. I said, God is giving him some dying mercies. You know, I've been around some people who are dying. A lot of people, I saw somebody recently who was literally dying, and he didn't have much peace. But this guy had peace, even though he was dying. Sure enough, a couple of weeks later, my mother called me. He had died. But I got a chance to see that day, some mercy while this guy was literally losing his life. He was only about 45, 46. So God has mercy for whatever situation we're dealing with, whatever we're going through, whatever you're going through in life this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever you're going through, God has some mercy for that situation. He may not remove the situation. He may not say, well, that's going to go. Sometimes he does, but he may not do that. But God has the mercy to allow you and me to get through that situation. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that this morning. I know that this morning. I've experienced that this morning. He has the mercy to get us through God's boundless and endless supply of mercy. I said I was going to end with that story, but I got to end with this story. His mercy is so good. If you ever, some of y'all still looking a little doubtful, if you ever doubt the mercy of God, if you ever struggling with, I'm going through this, God, are you merciful? Just look at the cross. Just look at Jesus. Look at God who demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. That's the mercy of God. Slayed his own son, died on the cross for me and you. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy. He died so that me and you might not have to go to hell. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. Everything else is just, you know, fringe benefits after that. I got the mercy that I don't have to go to hell. That's mercy enough, right? I thank you to God for the other mercies that you give me. Traveling mercies, marital mercies, parenting mercies, financial mercies. But thank you that I don't have to go to hell. Thank you that I have an eternal relationship with you because of your great mercy. He's a merciful God. Just look at the cross. He's a merciful God. God, we thank you for being a God of mercy.